And if you're interested in the Christian school, let me know, and we will talk to you about that. It is truly a blessing to have Christian school. Amen. Now, today is a big day at our church. We have a lot of people out today, and I'm glad for that. We call this big day Christmas Present Sunday, and the kids are excited. After the service, at the end of the service, we're going to have a birthday party for the Lord Jesus and give out presents. And every young person that comes, provided you're good, you'll get a Christmas present. But let me say this, the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus did not start in a big way. It did not start in a big place. It did not have a lot of VIP type big name people there with big titles on that original birthday, whenever that was. So I'm going to ask that you please take your Bible and turn with me this morning back to Micah chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verse 2 as well as Micah 3, 7 through 12. Turn there, Micah 5 and Micah 3. And I want you to notice that here is a prophecy written by the prophet Micah about 720 years before the birthday of Jesus the Christ. It is a prophecy that reminds you this morning of the title that my sermon has, which is called Little as Much When God is in It. Little as Much When God is in It. I'm going to read the text in verse 2 of chapter 5 of Micah. Please listen as I read it. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now I want to say three things about Micah 3 and Micah 5, 2 this morning about this sermon, Little as Much If God is in It. Number one, because God does much for you when you do not deserve it. God does much for you when you do not deserve it. The prophet Micah wrote in verse 1 of chapter 5 these words, Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Now some people read the Old Testament and they say there's a lot of blood in the Old Testament. There's a lot of destruction in the Old Testament. And you'd be right. But if you read the book of Revelation, there's a lot of blood. And a lot of judgment. And a lot of destruction. And you say, why did God write so much about judgment? Because you need to understand that your sin deserves judgment. And I'm talking to all of you. Your sin before a holy God deserves judgment. And God even chose the nation of Israel to be His special people. And yet He had to judge them for their sin. You see, God is no respecter of persons. Red and yellow, black and white. Yeah, they're precious in His sight, but they'll all be judged by God. Right. See, don't think that God is some grandfather in the sky with no teeth and no strength. As I told my Sunday school class, I told my son-in-law, my daughter's pretty, she's a wonderful girl, but she does bite. God bites. God bites. He's a loving God, but He bites. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. God is a just God. God is an all-powerful God. And your sin will be judged. Don't think that you're some special case that can avoid death and can avoid judgment because you're special. No, none of us are special in that way. You know, there's people in America, they think, how about the Biden crime family? How about Hunter? He's going to get it. They're all going to get it. It doesn't matter. I'm simply saying to you, that's what happened to Israel. The kings, the priests, the preachers or the prophets, all of them were doing it for the money. You know, money talks and everybody walks. They were doing it for the money. By the way, God knows your motives. You might look really good on the outside, but your heart stinks.
Right.
You say, how do you know that? Because my heart has stunk. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. God knows your heart. And he will judge.
Right.
And so, little as much when God is in it, because God does much for you when you do not deserve it. He delays your judgment. The only thing that's keeping you from the judgment of God, the hammer falling on you, is your heart just keeps beating.
Right.
And he keeps it beating. I'm saying God sent down the king of Assyria to judge Israel in the north just 2 years after this prophecy was written by Micah. God sent about another 80 years or so the judgment upon the south or Judah in 606 BC. And he sent down the king of Babylon and they brought forth a terrible judgment. Judgment delayed in our lives is not God's judgment denied.
Right.
It will come.
Right.
In other words, these people did not deserve God to do so much for them because they had sinned and you have sinned and you don't deserve anything that God should give you. And therefore, God will judge sin with death and he will judge sin with hell. But if you already have been saved by the grace of God, you need to understand, listen to me, that if you are continuing in some sin that you're not confessing and forsaking as a child of God, you will experience God's chastening judgment. He is a holy God.
Right.
He has a holy purpose for your life, and he will deal with you. I think of what Joe Slobodnik, our senior deacon, used to say to his sons, Eric and Greg. He would say, listen, guys, I want to bless you. I want to give you good gifts. I love you, but you've got to give me a reason to bless you. That's all I ask. I want to bless you. Just give me a reason to bless you. And if you're born again, you're a child of God, and God wants you to be blessed, but he will not bless you in unconfessed sin. By the way, let me say something. Fake preachers minimize sin, and they minimize the judgment for sin.
Right.
Real preachers will tell you the truth.
Right.
About sin, will tell you the truth about the judgment for sin, and will help you to get out of it God's way. And I want to just say, God rebukes fake preachers. When Micah wrote these words in chapter 3 and verse 5, he said, thus saith the Lord concerning my prophets, they make my people err. They make my people err. Why? They minimize sin and they minimize the judgment for sin. Sigmund Freud was a fake preacher of psychology.
Right.
And he said, your whole problem is because of your mother. He said, go urinate on your mother's grave and you'll feel better, for instance. He was the king of blame shifting. Adam blame shifted and said Eve. Eve blame shifted and said it was the devil. God said, no, you did it.
Right.
And the middle letter in the word sin is I. I'm just saying that a true preacher will not make God's people to err, but to face your sin. And Micah preached the true word of God, and so he says, but truly, notice this, he says, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. In other words, Micah said, I have the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. So I can point out their sin to people. You know what? Any true preacher worth his salt is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Adolf Hitler, you watch him. He was filled with power. And you can see the power take hold of him. But it was not the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the unholy spirit. You say, how do you know that? Because he had people kill Jews. Whenever you see anti-Semites, they've got the devil filling.
Right.
Satan hates Jews.
Right.
But Jesus was a Jew. And I'm just saying to you that God has a plan for Israel. But listen, you need to understand, first of all, your sin. I go to people sometime and I'll give them the good news about Jesus. But first I will tell them, I say, if I commit one murder, what am I called? A murderer. But Jesus said, if I ever have road rage and hate somebody in my heart, I have murdered them already in my heart. So I am a murderer if I hate somebody, and so are you. Now the Bible says if I have one lustful thought, one unbalanced desire, that makes me an adulterer. He that looketh upon a woman has committed adultery with her already by lusting for her. And you are a murderer if you've ever hated anybody, an adulterer if you've ever had a lustful thought. That's for men and women. You're a murderer. And you're an adulterer. Now God said, if you take my name in vain, I will not, Jehovah God will not hold you guiltless. I don't know what God you've got, but the God of the Bible, you take my name in vain, you're not held guiltless. So you have cursed one time and said Jesus the Christ in a bad way, or God, and you've sinned against God. You are a blasphemer. You are a blasphemer one time. One time. I'm just saying, what do you think a holy God would do if you stand before him and you are presented at the judgment of a holy God and he says, you are a murderer, you are a liar, and you are an adulterer? Not me standing. You're not going to stand before me. That'd be easy. You're going to stand before a holy God, every one of you individually. What do you think he'd do with you? I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll get an angel and say, I regret this, but I'm a holy God. You can't live with me. You have to pay for your sin in hell forever. You're shut out of my presence. I'm just saying to you that we need preachers that will tell you the truth. You know, Jesus is a prophet, and a prophet will tell you the truth. When I was 17 years of age, I saw what I'm telling you this morning, and I cried out to God, I don't want to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell. I always knew I was a sinner, but I didn't know for sure I was going to hell until I confronted the prophet Jesus. And I was looking to get out of it, and he showed me what I just showed you, and I was like, I'm going to hell. But God, if there's a way out, I want to get out of it. Amen. Have you ever been there? Perhaps you came here today and now you're there and you say, Pastor, you're right. I believe you. I don't want to go to hell. What's the way out? And I'm saying, as a child of God, you need to realize if you continue in sin, you take the Lord's table and you don't confess and forsake that sin that you're in, you're going to get sick. Some of you are going to die early, or something's going to happen to you. You say, why? Because God's holy. And you're his child. You're not a bastard.
Right.
You're a son of God. And he will deal with you. He does not spank the devil's children.
Right.
But he believes in spanking, unlike children and youth. Those wicked people.
My preacher.
Liberals. Yep. That destroy this country.
Yep.
I hate what they do.
Right.
I'm just saying that little is much when God is in it, because God does so much for you when you do not deserve it. Number two, because God does much for you when you are little. I want you to notice verse 2 of Micah 5 now, going up to Micah 5 and the second part of that verse. He says, But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. Now keep in mind, in verse 1, he's just been saying that you're going to be judged, just like I've said. But now he says, but, don't miss that but. You know what the but is? But I got good news for you. There's a little place. It's in Israel. It's in the southern kingdom of Judah. It's not a big place. But little is much if God is in it. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, that's where I'm going to give you this wonderful gift. Even though you deserve judgment, Israel. Even though Israel will experience judgment. But, verse 2, but thou Bethlehem, Ephratah. That is something for your faith. Let your faith take hold of it. Little is much when God is in it, because God does much for you when you're little and when you don't deserve it. And it comes from that little town of Bethlehem. I remember going there in 2016 with my wife. We went to Israel and we went on Mount Carmel where Elijah called fire from heaven. We went and saw the plain of Megiddo where the great battle of Armageddon will be fought. And we traveled all over the country of Israel, and we came to the crescendo when we came up from the Dead Sea. And coming up from the Dead Sea, all of a sudden they played Jerusalem, and my wife began to cry, and we saw the great holy city of Jerusalem. We saw the cross where Jesus died. Not the literal cross, but the rock. And it looked like a skull, and I knew that's where he died immediately. We saw the empty tomb, and we saw the Holy Temple Mount, the Holy Temple Mount. But my friend, after all of that, we were told, you can see the little town of Bethlehem. It was kind of anticlimactic in a sense. We had to get off our big, beautiful tour bus and go in a little van. We drove about 9 miles south of Jerusalem. And we got into a Palestinian territory, and we were led to this place where there is where he was born. The Messiah, Jesus, was born right there in Bethlehem.
Amen.
Just a little town. Kind of reminded me of Scranton, to be honest. You know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Where was he raised? In Nazareth. And one of the disciples said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And they said, come and see. Come and see. Can any good thing come out of Scranton? Little as much if God's in it.
Yeah.
Any good thing come out of Bethlehem? Yeah. You know, come and see it. I remember we had a Palestinian pastor there named Jonathan. And he said, you know what? Right here in Bethlehem, they raised sheep, little lambs. They became sheep. And they would wrap them in cloth called swaddling clothes. You ever heard of swaddling clothes and being laid in the manger? He said they wrapped these lambs because they couldn't have a blemish on them because they were going to be offered as sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. And so they wrapped them in swaddling clothes. And he said, isn't it interesting that the little Lamb of God was wrapped in swaddling cloth and laid in a manger for animals? Because he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I was held over hell and deserved to go to hell. And then God showed me little as much when God is in it. I didn't deserve heaven. But God does much for you when you're little. And I was little in God's sight. Undeserving in God's sight. Unworthy. A beggar crying out, save me, Lord. And Jesus is my Savior. I looked somehow in faith, and the Spirit working with the Word somehow birthed in me a new life. And now I have that faith. It's a gift of God in itself. I'm not better than anybody that has not faith. Oh, but God says through the foolishness of preaching, He wants you to be little and realize you are undeserving and that you would be saved by God's grace through faith. That not of yourself, you would receive the gift of God. And by the way, that's for Christian school kids. That's for church members. Because there are a lot of people, they come to the Lord with, oh, I went to Christian school, take me in. I'm a member of such and such a church, take me in. I've done this or I've done that. Maybe I'm not a member of a church, but I'm better than most church people. Because I've done some good things. Well, you go out, and I got a Samario's Stromboli, Steve, a Samario Stromboli. That's where you need to go to get it. And they were all eating pizza, but I was just eating a vegan Samario Stromboli. And I want to tell you, If I saw that stromboli with that cheese, and I had cheese, that cheese coming out of that stromboli, and when I pulled it out, there was a big long tail sticking out of that thing. And attached to that tail was a big rat. I would throw it away. And I would say, I'm going to Rosario's or something. You guys ripped me off. You know, some of you think you're going to go to God because you went to Christian school, or you're in a church, or you're pretty good, or you got Christian parents, or whatever reason you might give, and God is going to say, you're not little enough. You got a rat in there. The rat is your sin. The good hoagie is the good things you're doing, but the rat ruins it all. And so little is much when God is in it, because God does much for you when you are little. And that little town of Bethlehem had something big in it, something wonderful in it. It says that, and notice this in verse 2 of Micah 5, it says, though you be little, out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In other words, in that little town of Bethlehem was born somebody that was a descendant of King David. And King David was promised the kingdom, and that he would be the king and he would rule, listen to me, over Israel. And by the way, David will rule over Israel. King David. But not only that, but from you will be born in Bethlehem somebody that is so old that they're ancient. He's called the Ancient of Days, Jesus is, in Daniel. But it says, how old is he? He's been from everlasting. In other words, he had no beginning.
Right.
He is God.
Yes.
He is not what Allah and the Islamic people say, because they have a satanic religion. Right. If you're a Muslim, you got a satanic religion.
Right.
They want to kill me for saying that, because they're satanic and he hates people. Our God is loving.
Yes.
He died on that cross. Didn't kill his enemies. He died for his enemies.
Yes.
So Islamic people can be saved. Catholic people can be saved. Protestant people can be saved. Non-church people can be saved. Liberals can be saved. The worst of all. They can be saved. Homosexuals can be born again. But you got to come to Jesus. And put your trust in him, that he is a man, but a perfect man. And he is also God. And he went to that cross, and all by himself, he died as the Lamb of God to take away your sin. He offers you, whoever you are, without respecter of persons, eternal life.
Yes.
If you'll receive the free present. We have presents here. All you got to do is receive it.
Amen.
And that's all you have to do.
Right.
By faith is to receive the gift. Perhaps you are a child of God and God has blessed your life, but now you feel entitled. I think of King Saul. Samuel said to him, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. I remember when I was saved, I was little in my own sight, and God saved me and blessed my life and gave me a great blessing for my life. And I learned from that God wants me to stay little. Amen?
Yep.
Some of you got too big for your own britches.
Preach.
You know, David became a little shepherd boy, and then God made him a king, and he was a big man like Saul, but he kept little in his own eyes.
Good.
And when David sinned, God sent a little known preacher by the name of Nathan. And Nathan told David a story that convicted him that he was an adulterer and that he deserved to be judged and to die. But that God was going to spare his life and chasten him by taking four of his sons' lives. And you know what David could have been like a lot of kings of Israel, when a man of God, a preacher, told them something that they didn't want to hear. They thought, I'm a big king. A prophet can't say that to me. And they would arrest that prophet. Even believers did that, believing kings. Sometimes they would arrest that prophet and put him in jail. Sometimes it was an unbelieving king, like in the days of Jeremiah, they put him in jail. Zedekiah. They put him in jail because they heard something from the Word of God they didn't like that pertained to them. Can I tell you something? If the Word of God tells you that something that rubs your fur the wrong way, turn that cat around. Don't go after that preacher and have roast preacher for Christmas dinner or whatever. You say, thank God for that preacher. He's helping me. He's telling me how to get saved. Or he's telling me how I can live my life. You know, there are many true Christians today. They don't like what I preach about the King James Bible. They don't like what I preach about standards. But God showed me a long time ago, I am not preaching for them.
Amen.
I'm preaching for him.
Amen.
And if they'll listen to it and turn that cat around, they'll get a blessing.
Amen.
But listen to me. David made a hero out of Nathan. He did not just repent and get it right. But David named Nathan as his favorite prophet. He put him on his board of counselors. And Nathan, to the day he died, was his counselor. And Bathsheba's counselor. And Bathsheba loved him too, because he spoke against her as well. They both loved him. Bathsheba wrote Proverbs 31. He got it right. How about you? How about you? Do you get into a church that's a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, even though it will tell you the truth that hurts sometimes? I'm saying this morning, little is much when God is in it, because God does much for you when you don't deserve it. Because God does much for you when you are little. And thirdly and lastly, because God does much for you from small beginnings. Micah 5:2 says this, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Now the angels announced on that first Christmas or birth of Christ, whenever that was, they announced and they said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just the Jews. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, they said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. They said, God will give you peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That was an announcement not to King Herod, not to the Julius Caesar or to Augustus Caesar at that time. That announcement was made to common people called shepherds. They didn't have much money. They were common people. Like many of you here in Scranton today. Common people. That's who God chose. God chose the common things of this world in the main to save them. And so today, you know, he is saying little is much when God is in it, because God does so much for you, starting with small beginnings. It said here, there's going to be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I ask you, in the song that we sang by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, is there peace on earth right now? No. They're fighting in many different places of the world. And they're dying. It's been, listen, about 2,700 years since that prophecy was made. Handle that. Tell them to go around. It's about 2,700 years since that prophecy was made, and there still is no peace on earth. It started little, with little people. Listen, but it's going to get real big. Real big. Did you hear me? Real big. See, I'm going to an inauguration of Donald John Trump. That's going to be real big. But let me tell you something. I, and you guys know, I was for Donald Trump before it was cool to be for Donald Trump.
That's right.
Right? I was for Donald Trump before it was cool to be for Donald Trump. And I said, I believe he's going to get in there. I'm not a charismatic. I don't believe in the signs of the apostles being for today. I don't believe that we have that going on. That was for the days of the apostles. But can God ever give a prophecy that's of God? I believe on rare occasions he does. And many of these prophets are waxed. But I believe Trump was going to get in. And he did. And I didn't base it on opinion polls. I based it on what I believe God was saying. That's why I stayed with it. I was rooting for Pittsburgh yesterday, and they lost. And I didn't get a prophecy Pittsburgh was going to win. I didn't feel confident in that. I didn't say, I believe they're going to. But I didn't have anything to base that on. I'm just saying to you, my friend, make sure that what you're basing your life is on, I'm praying to God who hears prayer, and I believe God's going to answer. I'm praying in faith. I'm going to God. I'm saying to you that I believe that God brought Donald Trump back, and there's going to be justice still upon Anthony Fauci, upon Barack Obama, upon these people that have done these crimes and hurt people in our nation. There's going to be justice. Amen? But can I say something to you? That little baby in the manger, that little baby in the manger, he is not a baby anymore. He's a great big Jesus. And he is coming back. And when he comes back, I believe, you know, if you want to use Trump's second term, it's going to be different the second time around. He's not going to be hoisted on a cross. He's already done that. He is coming back to judge and to set up his kingdom. And listen to me, friends, if you're on the devil's side, I wouldn't want to be in your sneakers, because you are going to be cast out. And those that have been saved by Jesus, when it's not popular, they're going to be in that golden age reigning with Jesus Christ. Little as much when God is in it, because things may start very small, but they're going to get very big. And I'll end with this. Isaiah 2 says in verse 1 through 5, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall beat their swords into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord."
Yes.
I've been to the Temple Mount, and I saw up there the Mosque of Omar. I saw up there the Muslim abominations. It's not the house of the Lord up there. But you mark my words, there's coming a day when Jesus will come back, and that mountain will be lifted up to be the highest of all mountains. And on top of that mountain in Jerusalem will be the temple, and in the Holy of Holies, with a golden crown upon his head, will be Jesus.
Amen.
He will appoint King David King David to be the prince over Israel, and each of the 12 apostles will reign over one of the 12 tribes.
Yes.
I'll have some job somewhere. And you too, if you're faithful. I'm looking forward to that day. When I got off in Tel Aviv, I saw the Star of David on a flag. Do you know the United Nations is meant to bring peace, and all they bring is trouble? You know why? Because they hate Israel. They always vote against Israel because they're of the devil. The United Nations is of the devil. I'll tell you what will unite the nations when Jesus is on the throne in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem. Then all the world will have peace on earth. It started small in the little town of Bethlehem, but it's going to grow to be big, my friend. And it's going to involve this world, and not this world, but Elon Musk, the whole universe. It'll all be under his rule. And the aliens, who are the fallen angels, will be cast into hell along with Satan after Satan is put in the center of the earth for 1,000 years in jail. It's all going to happen just as God wrote it. But where will you be 1,000 years from now? I know where I'll be. I know where I'll be because of Jesus.
Yes.
And because of the faith I have in the Word of God. Put your trust in Him. And you'll be with Him. And heaven will come down from the third heaven to be right over the top of Mount Zion. That's where heaven will be. And we'll reign over the earth with Jesus.
Yes.
If you're saved. I look forward to that. That golden age that's coming. That's where my faith is, my friend. I invite you to trust Him. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed, and some of you